In January, we reported on the nationwide shortage of those drops and gels that relieve dry eye. Manufacturers were vague about the reasons for the shortage. Some said they were short of components or that they were changing packaging. Now, I know you may be saying, really? We're going to talk about dry eyes, that feeling I get when wind hits my eyes or I'm tired? No, this is chronic pain that comes in a sudden attack so excruciating that people describe it as feeling like glass in their eye or a hot cinder. Many sufferers become profoundly depressed. Some commit suicide. We spoke in January to Rebecca Petrus, who has dry eye after failed LASIK surgery, and she's become a clearinghouse of information. She started the not-for-profit Dry Eye Foundation, as well as an online information and gathering place called Dry Eye Zone. She also runs the small dry eye shop where she tries to stock the drops and creams sufferers need. And she's alerted us to an update on this story. Rebecca Petrus joins us from the studios of KUOW in Seattle. Rebecca, let's start with an email you sent us yesterday. Heads up, another 46 products have been recalled in the last 24 hours under four brand names. I am sick over this. Just no words. So a shortage, but now a recall?
So, Robin, this started for me on the 4th of July. I was actually in the office that morning, and I started getting emails from readers who were sending me copies of notices that they were getting from Walmart about products that they had purchased that had been recalled. So I went online and found, sure enough, on the FDA's site, there was a notice of a recall of quite a lot of eye drops and ointments. That was a huge concern to me because Walmart's Equate brand was actually the main replacement for the ointment that we've been missing so much all this time that had been out of production for a long time. But there was a bigger concern to me, and that was that I knew this particular manufacturer of the generic is a major supplier of generics to a lot of different stores under a lot of different brand names. And due to the nature of the recall, I imagined that there were going to be a lot more shoes dropping. And yes, that was absolutely the case. We went from 11 products then to, at the last count, we're up to, I believe, 120 that have been announced now.
Well, as soon as we heard from you, I went, you know, rushed to a drugstore to see. And there are, you know, just whole, you know, swaths of emptiness on shelves. Yes. Where dry eye ointments are supposed to be. There were already problems with popular brand names like Refresh and Systane. Are those being recalled?
No. So far as we know, the recall started entirely with the generic brands, Walmart, Walgreens, and CVS ones. Now we're starting to see some brand names. But the one thing that all of the recalls have in common is they are coming from a single manufacturer, Altair Pharmaceuticals. So we're seeing them come out progressively, and we haven't seen the end of it yet. And this is why, honestly, at this point, we really need the manufacturers whose products are not being recalled to step up and tell us, because the confusion out there with this number of product recalls is such that nobody knows what is safe and what is not.
But do we know why?
What they state in the announcements is that there is a potential for non-sterility. They have been very careful to emphasize that there have been no adverse event reports and no actual failed sterility tests. However, when you've got recalls of this magnitude, obviously there is a problem. Even if there hasn't been a reported incident of someone having a problem, they would not be pulling hundreds of thousands of products off of the shelves without serious concerns about sterility.
On the other hand, you were told by Allergan back in January when Refresh PM, which is so popular, this is again an ointment in a tube. It's like a Vaseline that you put in your eye. That had disappeared from the shelves, maybe because of a packaging problem or something. They said that it would be back August or September.
So the one little bit of good news that I've got right now is that Refresh PM is back, at least in some small quantities in some stores. And I know that they have more on the way to others. But the broader impact of the shortage of ointments that's been going on for a year and a half is nowhere near over, because the absence of that one has had a domino effect on other brands. We've had shortages of ointments and gels for a long time now. So these recalls, which also include dozens of ointments, could not possibly be coming at a worse time.
Well, that's okay. That's great. But people are hoarding. What are you hearing on the message boards?
Actually, people have been receiving emails from Allergan about Refresh PM being back. They're going to stores and they're saying they're already gone, or that they bought everyone that was there. So, yes.
And, you know, and by the way, These are expensive. They can be, you know, $11-$12 for a little tiny tube that may last you a few days.
The brand named ones like Refresh PM can be up there around the $20 and above point. And that's an additional concern for me with this sweeping series of recalls of the generic brands of all of these eye products. It's that we've got so many folks on, say, fixed incomes, and the elderly in particular, that they depend on these generic brands to be able to afford them. We've got people that go through a tube of ointment in a few days or a week, or a box of drops in a couple of days, and they can't possibly pay brand name prices for those equivalents. So we're just getting hit from all sides right now in our dry eye world.
What are you hearing from people about the pain they're experiencing?
So the Dry Eye Foundation has actually just recently launched a really exciting new project to document the experiences of our community. We started a survey the beginning of July for Dry Eye Awareness Month, but it's going to extend far beyond Dry Eye Awareness Month. It's going to be an ongoing survey. We're taking an extensive inventory of what exactly do people experience from dry eye so that we can start to package and present this information so others can understand better what dry eye really means. It sounds so trivial, so insignificant, and yet you get people, just as you said, who are in so much distress. There is dry eye, little D, little E, that's just a nuisance, put some drops in already. And then there's dry eye, all caps, and it's a completely different animal. In our survey results so far, we're finding that the people that are reporting the highest levels of distress have not just one feeling, like a feeling of dryness. They've got 15 different feelings. They're having difficulty keeping their lids open. They're experiencing pain, burning, stinging, light sensitivity. It's debilitating and can seriously interfere with people's careers and personal lives, which are other things that we're surveying in great detail in our survey.
Well, Rebecca, before we discovered you, we spoke to a doctor about this. We'll link to that story at hearandnow.org. And he was seeing suicides over this condition. It's really quite something. So now you're offering this service. We'll link people up to all of your information as well. This latest recall seems to be because of the sterility issue, important issue. But do you think that it's not worth it? I mean, it's such a profound pain, but maybe it's too small a community for these companies to make these products.
I think it's a huge market for them, a huge and growing one. The demographics out there are pushing the numbers up and up and up. The actual epidemiological studies are vague because nobody really knows exactly how to measure dry eye. So we're talking somewhere from 5 to 40% of the population.
Maybe some people don't even know they have it.
Absolutely. I think many people don't recognize it for what it is. And one of the reasons for the levels of distress people experience when they've had this for some time is that when they first start experiencing a problem and they do the natural thing, they go see their eye doctor, there's a long cycle before they get the kind of detailed diagnosis and detailed treatment path that they need. Many times it's just a cookie cutter. Oh, you have dry eye, take these drops, or here's a prescription drug, or have some plugs. But what they really need is someone to pick apart the puzzle and figure out what's really going on, because dry eye is just a vague bucket term for a whole lot of things going on in the eye. It is a totally nonspecific diagnosis, in my opinion.
Well, and if I may just add, it could also be that you think you have a sty in your eye, and you go to an eye doctor and say, there's something in there, there's something in there. And they say, there's nothing in there.
So that is profound. This is the one of the greatest things that we struggle with. It's that experience of, my eyes are bothering me. And I go into the eye doctor and they say, gosh, actually, this looks pretty good. Or, well, you look a little dry, so let's do this. But there's this mismatch between what I'm experiencing and what they're seeing. And finding ways to bridge that gap are really super important. It's known in the medical community that these things don't match up, that you can experience a lot of pain from what might look not as significant in a medical exam, and yet that pain is real and needs to be addressed and needs to be treated. So one of the other things that the Dreyer Foundation is trying to do right now is to popularize a symptom survey. It's a scientifically validated little 12-question thing that people can go, and in 30 seconds, they can just answer a few questions. It will spit out a number, and that number represents the severity of their dry eye. So you can just fill out the numbers, print it out, take it into the doctor's office, and when they say, gosh, this doesn't look like there's anything going on, you can say, but my number on this OSDI score is 65. That means I have severe symptoms. Can we talk some more, please? We want to empower people with ways to communicate about what's going on that help them to get to solutions more quickly.
That's Rebecca Petras, again, founder of the online information clearinghouse, the Dry Eye Zone, as well as the not-for-profit Dry Eye Foundation, doing really good work there for a lot of people. Rebecca, we'll link everybody up. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.